Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful that you can join us for another week.
We sure are.
And we're excited today. We have Nasami Covey back with us. She was with us on episode 117, where we talked about moon cycles and energy. And now today we are going to talk about the lunar cycles and menopause, supporting one another and the moon, how it impacts our biorhythm. So we're going to see where this conversation leads us down, and we're super excited. So welcome back.
Well, thank you
Welcome back.
so much, ladies. I've been so looking forward to being with you too.
Yeah,
We've been
same
looking forward
here.
to seeing you again too.
Yeah.
And this conversation be really interesting. I love the moon and what it does for me, so you've got it.
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
should we dive into this,
We
or
should, yeah,
fly up
absolutely.
into it? Maybe flying up into it. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
so I have a question for both of you. So what have you learned through, decades ago when we were in school? We learned that the moon impacts our Earth on many, many ways, right? So
Oh, yeah.
can you tell me a couple of those things?
Go ahead, Kim.
Like when the moon affects the water, like the waves coming in and out, so it moves that. And so, I mean, I don't know if I learned it in school, but I know it impacts our body because we're made up of, what is it, 80% water. So that I know. I think that's all I know.
Yeah. Well, so. Well,
Go ahead.
we are actually more than 80% water, actually. When you go into the cellular level to the level of plasma, we are almost all water. So we're like
Wow.
99.9% actually water. I know. So, people say, "Oh, we're like a 70% water." No. We are actually swimming in water. Everything is water in a way. Water molecules everywhere. And we are water. So, of course, the moon's going to have an impact on all of us, right? So, moon actually impacts, yes, the tides, with the big ocean areas and in certain level of water. It could be lakes and things like that too. As long as it's a big, big lake, the moon will impact that too. But also that the moon impacts seasons. So, that's something that the most people don't know. But without the moon, we wouldn't have these four seasons, or at least, some places are maybe three seasons. But at least we will have these different seasonalities, right? We wouldn't have that if we didn't have the moon. And the moon is so balancing to Earth because it maintains the tilt of the Earth at a certain degree. So, we owe it to the moon because without the moon, we probably wouldn't have evolved to the point that we are. And these tides actually created marine organisms to start getting pushed up into the shores because the moon used to be much, much bigger, well, bigger as in closer to us. So the
Right.
gravitational forces were stronger. So then these marine species will get pushed up and then they started to adapt to living on the grounds, right? So they went from swimming only in the ocean water to, how do we survive on the earth, meaning on the ground that's a dry ground? So, in so many ways, we owe it to the moon. And there are new studies that are coming out and it's still, somewhat slow in coming, but some scientists are saying that we may have specific genes that controls or communicates with the lunar cycles. Just like marine animals and other vertebrates, other species all have a DNA that are connected to the ebb and flow of the lunar cycles. But
Right.
when it comes to human beings, we have that, but it's very difficult to study because we have been so removed from the 29.5 days cycles from new moon to new moon. Those cycles have been somewhat lost, right? Since our ancestors knew about it, but we have gotten lost because of the modern technologies, always 24/7 with lights and noise and all that. But I'll give you this one really, really cool study that came out about 2 years ago or so. So people have been arguing about whether the moon impacts our sleep or not. And of course it does, right? If you're
Right.
menopause, if you're in postmenopause, if you're in perimenopause, even, that the moon cycles are impacting your sleep all the time. But the scientists have to go down that road and they have to prove it. So what they did was they studied college kids in Seattle in co college dormitories with the phone right there, sleeping next to it, computer
Right.
screens right there, flickering TVs, things like that. And also they studied two tribal groups in Argentina. And one has no light and one has like a one single, maybe a dimmed light in their, you know, main home area or something like that. They study these three totally different communities. And what they found is that leading up to the full moon, they all sleep less. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. 45 minutes to 75 minutes less. And it takes longer to fall asleep. So yay, science, you know, but yay, we've already known this. Okay. So if you're experiencing this, and if you're in menopause and postmenopause is technically, you know, 12 months after you've had your last menstruation, then you are in postmenopause and you'll be in postmenopause for the rest of your life, right?
Right.
Noticing these sleeps are a little bit stranger than before, you know, you're on the right track with it because you're living in the cycle with the moon more and more. So I say congratulations for coming back to your own biorhythm. So I'll pause there.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And it's true because I've noticed that, right? Coming up to the full moon, it's like, okay, I can't sleep. I'm restless. I'm fidgety. So I think it's interesting and good to know that we're all kind of like that. So
Right. So I have to just add something. And I know, Barb, you got things to say too. Okay. So you've been ahead of us for a little bit longer, you know, in terms of the postmenopause, but
just a couple of years.
That's about it. But one of the things that I get asked a lot, because I get interviews from health communities a lot, right? Spiritual communities, but also health communities. And they're always asking me, what are some of the things we can do? You know, like biohacking, because what happens scientifically, okay, and through the lunar cycles is that our melatonin productions, which is very important, you know, produced in your third eye, pineal gland, that melatonin productions actually decreases as we head towards the full moon. So that's been very much proven, right? So then the moment I say that, and the moment I give them a couple of examples of what happens around that leading up to the full moon, they kind of lean in and say, what can we do to biohack? That's the word, right? Biohacking is going on right now. And sometimes, okay, so the other day I answered it this way and the host that was interviewing me did not like my answer. Okay. I basically said to her, I said, well, you know what? What if we instead of biohacking, we biohugged it, you know? We embrace the fact that this is just the cycles that we live by. And if you're having difficulty sleeping and really not having really good solid 8 hours or so for those 72 hours, let's say, leading up to full moon, mm-hmm. can we just have like a community? You know, can we have like women's network or channel that you can turn on in the middle of the night and say, are you up to? You know, like, so that's how I answered it. And then I said, maybe we should all order, each and every one of us will order like a beautiful full moon journal or something. And then we get to kind of communicate with our dreams and our, you know, different realms, intuition, your guides and connections that we make with the cosmic level during that 72 hours. And what mm-hmm. if we invested in that instead of biohacking? How do we get more melatonin? But this host did not like that answer. So I just wanted to put that out there. And what do you think of my answer?
I like it.
I like it too. Because I mean, to me, I like to hug anyway. And I find that when you're going through difficult times, when someone gives you a hug, it's like, well, okay, that can bring you right back to reality for a few minutes and go, oh boy, forgot about doing that nice stuff for myself, right? So no, I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well, because I find, like, I think too often we're always looking for that quick fix. How do we fix ourselves? And why can't we just learn to live with the moon and the cycles of the moon? And, you know, what would we accomplish if we were doing a dream journal at that time, or or connecting with other women and sharing our experiences? I feel like that would lead to a way different and more beneficial than trying to get that, how are we going to biohack into some more melatonin? That's my thoughts on it.
I mean, you know, so I changed a little bit, you know, in that interview. And I said, well, I mean, you could try up to 10 milligrams of melatonin, you know, but please ask your health practitioner. You know, that's kind of how I went. But, you know, coming back to the biohugging, though, what happens is that leading up to the full moon, but basically, and I'll talk about this a little bit more in terms of like maybe the waning part of the moon too, but our oxytocin is a very short-lived, maybe neurotransmitter or hormones. Okay. So as you know, the oxytocin is like the love hormone, right? It's what makes you feel like cuddly and connected. And, but we, as menopause and postmenopausal women, we actually need a whole lot more oxytocin. It's like, it's something that you get lost. So you lose oxytocin easily. So my recommendation for all of us menopause and postmenopausal women and perimenopausal women too, is that during the leading up to the full moon, do things to maybe increase some of the oxytocin, right? So get hugs from other people. And when we're leading up to the full moon, there's this like a natural desires for all of us women to want to connect with one another, finding communities together, maybe call up your friends. I mean, those will all kind of increase your oxytocin, maybe cook for yourself and create a beautiful meal, because when you're tasting really delicious foods that you prepared for yourself, and maybe even a glass of wine, but you know, a glass of wine can actually lower your abilities to sleep. So if I were to biohack, maybe you shouldn't do that. But you know, doing things like that, maybe play some music that, you know, you haven't listened to in a while and dance around and bless your foods while you're making it. That can actually help you to increase your oxytocin leading up to the full moon. It may not help you to sleep longer or better, okay? But at least you will feel a sense of being loved and connected and being hugged.
Yeah. And we can all use that anytime, right? I agree. Like I always said, try to find your feminine side no matter what, and near a full moon is a good time to do it, you know, or find, try to put it back into place, because sometimes we try to get so much into the world we forget how to love ourselves. The moon is a good time to do that. I agree. Good choice on your part.
Yeah. And I think too, like if we can embrace these things and we know, okay, we're not going to sleep. So how, you know, what can we do to bring some of that oxytocin in so that we have those feel goods, so that when we're not sleeping, we're not agitated and frustrated and those kind of things. And instead we're taking that time that it's like, well, I can't sleep. So what can I do? Where can I, you know, embellish in my life that is a good thing, because we've led up with this other stuff to help us kind of get through that little hump.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there are a couple of things that, you know, okay, if I'm twist my arms and I'll tell you a little biohacking. Okay. I mean, there are things you can do, you know, besides like taking melatonin as supplements, right? Is that you want to, so there are these really cool studies that came out around children and their sleep cycles as well. And they do actually struggle leading up to the full moon too. So this isn't just for menopause. So this is kind of tough. You know, let's say your grandkids come and visit you during the full moon. Oh my gosh, they're going to be wired and tired for the next 72 hours. So, you know, you may need to tell your, you know, grandkids, let's pick the new moon time, because then you're going to go to bed earlier. You're going to sleep longer, right? Things like that. So maybe you can organize your dates, you know, in a calendar, 29.5 days a little bit differently. But the one of the studies that came out was suggesting that maybe allow yourself and your kids to play a little bit more leading up to the full moon, those 72 hours, like have them do a little more exercises, maybe go out there as a family, go for longer walks, maybe do activities that will get all of us a little bit tired. And I thought that was really, really good. And also that ties back into, you probably heard of lymphatic system, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's this system that is in your brain called glymphatic system. So glymphatic, glymphatic system. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the lymphatic system of the brain. So the brain actually increases in its weight as you go into the full moon. Isn't that cool? Right.
That is very cool.
Right. But what happens is that you could get too much junk in there, right? So as you are leading up to the full moon, I'm sure many of you have like ruminating thoughts and, you know, oh my gosh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then you have a checklist that you forgot to put it on. And, you know, your mind just will not relax and quiet down. So right. That's another reason why you don't sleep either, is that not just a decrease in melatonin, but increase in retention of the fluids of the brain that keeps all your crap just floating through and recirculating in there, right? So when you do the movement, so like when you go for an evening walk, I think evening walks are really good leading up to the full moon, because then when you walk and you move your arms in the rhythmic ways, that's what drains the brain, right? Do things to drain the brain, not just for your grandkids, but for yourself too. So all of you can just like start to fall asleep on the couch watching, you know, some sort of movie. Yeah.
People yeah. have energy around the moon too sometimes. But yeah, you just really have to take that time. I find with you sit and you look out into the sky and into the moon, that in itself can help you to work with your emotions. And because I find at moon time, my emotions are high, and music is a big thing for me during that time, where it sort of pulls me down to where I need to be to sort of level out. And I've only found that through maturity more so. As well, it's come easier that way. So yeah.
I love that, because you're hitting it just right. Like, you don't even have to be a scientist to know that there's a direct connections with the moon and your mind, right? I mean, that is completely connected. So there have been really interesting studies now coming out, finally saying, like, we've all known this, okay, but the scientists have to go find it out, right? They're saying that they're increased level of mood swings and agitations and anger, and for almost anyone, but especially if you're sensitive around like the menopausal hormonal shifts and the postmenopausal. So is that our mental health can get a little bit, I wouldn't say compromised, but challenged, I would say, leading up to the full moon. And it can be like brain fog will kick in, or, you know, it's more like an overwhelm. Last night I was lying in bed, speaking of last night, lying there thinking, oh gosh, women's minds just get overwhelmed as we are leading up to the full moon. And then maybe when you're waning and you're going towards the new moon, when your brain actually is a little bit more drained and you can think a little bit better, that's when you have a clear thoughts. But leading up to the full moon, the overwhelm can cause us to feel like, oh my gosh, I just want to pull my hair out. I can't get anything done. You know? And then the moods get worse, and then increased agitations. And it's like you get really easily angered. And those things do happen probably of many things, but low melatonin, increased fluids in your brain, and then the moon tugging at your, you know, your pineal gland, and the gravitational forces messing with us. And then we just feel overwhelmed, you know? So right. I think this is when us women really need to come together, understanding this. This is why I go and study science and physiology and biorhythms, because with this knowledge, you can imagine we can begin to come together and say, ooh, are you having that time too? Then I, you know, you can say, I hold that space for you, or I understand what you're going through, because most of the time we just want to be understood.
That's right. True. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. I like that. I hold that space. I like that. I might have to steal that one.
Do it. Steal all you need to. Yeah.
Well, and it's sense of community too, which I think is really important, because then you feel like you belong in that community, and being a part of a whole is better than trying to muddle through it on your own and figure out, right? And somebody's going to say something that you're going to be like, oh yeah, you too? Oh, excellent. How do we get through this? Oh, I heard on this podcast, you know, here's some ways, go for a walk, right? You know what I mean? I think that's really great. And then to have the science back it up is wonderful too, because then it's showing that these are facts.
Right.
Yeah,
true. Exactly. We're not crazy, but we are a little bit. Okay. I got the lunacy, you know, moving through my veins. But yeah, it's helpful. You know, I think especially in the Western cultures where we do put the science on the pedestal, you know, right. And then say, well, who has proven this? Well, there are proof now, you know, so we don't have to just be called you're crazy. You know, it's all in your mind. Well, it is in my mind because of the moon is tugging at my mind, you know, so and your pineal gland is actually now seen as the lunar sensors, one of the lunar sensors. So it's actually sensing the gravitational forces. It's very sensitive. It's a very sensitive spot in your brain that responds to light changes. So the sunlight and the darkness. So it really requires kind of the, you know, making sure that the evening gets darker, dim your lights, maybe use candle lights. Those are really, really helpful for your pineal gland. I also think that it's not just operating from the light perspectives, but it's impacted by the gravitational force of the moon. And that's what that study that I, you know, originally told you about, those three places that are one with the blaring lights and sounds, the college kids, and the other ones are, you know, in somewhere nowhere and with silence and darkness, and they're still having issues of sleeping. So it's not always about the light, because that's where everybody goes. It's like, oh, you just need to get a mask, you know, eye masks, and, you know, you just need to darken the room, and you have to make sure that it's a good temperature. And there's a lot of hygiene around sleep. But right. I also think that, you know, growing up in an Eastern culture like I did in Japan, sometimes we look at the Western cultural mindset where we all think we can override the nature is not the best way to approach this. That's a very masculine approach. That's a very solar approach. And I'm interested in, now that I'm in my second half, now that I'm in this kind of this beautiful second act of my life, I want to approach this life, the rest of my life, with a little bit more of the softer yin energy. And that's a lunar energy.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there things then we can do besides, you know, dimming the lights and some of those things that would, I guess, help the pineal gland kind of, you know, settle down a little bit, kind of not disassociate that pull, but just kind of settle down? And maybe also, is there a way of reflecting through that where there's some things that we can learn from that pulling of the moon?
Yeah, that's a good question. So pineal gland really needs the morning sunlight. So, you know, even though we're talking about the moon, it loves the morning sunlight. So make sure that you get maybe 5 to 10 minutes first thing in the morning. And even it's cloudy, you know, even it's snowing like crazy out there where I'm talking here. And I know you both live in a very cold place too, but, you know, even in the winter, even in the snowing and raining kind of a place, you can go out there for just a few minutes and just expose your eyelids in this region to the natural light. And not through the windows, not through the, you know, from the room kind of thing, but step out just for a moment, okay, if you can. And that's very, very important. And I have some people that would just even open a crack of a window and then just stick their forehead out for a few minutes. That works too, okay? So that's one thing that pineal gland really, really enjoys and loves. And, you know, like you mentioned, like dimming the lights and things like that, because it's so sensitive to the blue lights, those flickering lights that come from computers and the phones and then everything else, right? So we have actually changed our light bulbs from LED lights to the old light bulbs, you know, so the orangey tinted old ones. And we just decided we're not doing the LED lights anymore. So yeah, things like that can be actually helpful. And, you know, I say leading up to the full moon, most of us are going to struggle sleeping, you know, straight through maybe, or you're going to struggle falling asleep anyway. So then put aside maybe a nap time, you know. I'm all about the naps. Like I love, you know, I'm like a cat and a dog, you know, it's like, if I get a chance to nap, I'm going to take it. So, you know, maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, however long that works for you, just take that time to nap and not get extremely nervous about the fact that you're not sleeping the normal or, you know, what is considered to be the good amount of hours. And I think that's how I'd like to want to live that way from this point forward, because as a health practitioner, you know, my goal was always to have a good day every day. Every day I must sleep 8 hours. Every day I must have a really nice poop. You know, every day I must eat a perfect diet. And, you know, I mean, okay, after decades of working with people and my own health crisis and everything, there's like a softening that is starting to happen. And, you know, this may not be liked by all the other health practitioners that are out there that are hacking away, you know, and making sure that you live a perfect life. I'm just not that interested in that. I'm interested in pulling back and getting a big picture of the 29.5 days instead of 24 hours per day.
I find part of that resting, because I'm starting to do a little more of that myself during the day. And I really am glad that I'm doing that. Certainly allowing myself, if I gave myself permission, that's what it is, you know. But I also find on the days when I do have those 10 or 15 minutes sleep, my mind is more alert later, and that kind of thing, where, you know, as you start maturing, some days because of the foggy brain that you get around the full moon and that, you also worry, like, am I getting close to dementia or something, right? You worry about that too. So knowing that, what you're saying is really nice to hear, because it allows you to go, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I just need a little rest at that time. It's just pulling more from me than I expected. So good point you're putting out there for people as they mature, knowing that that is going to benefit them to have those little 10-minute naps. Because my mom is 92. I'm always saying to her, Mom, have a little nap. No, can't nap. I won't sleep at night. No. And it's like, yeah, but you do. You do still. And it surprises you because you don't think you will. But if you just let you say to yourself, whatever, I'm tired. I'm sitting here going, I'm tired, right? And so I need to have a little nap. So good information.
Right. Just, I think if we can pull back, you can be a little more gentler with how you are living day to day. And if you have a good month, I think that's, you've done a good job. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. Instead of, have I been really good today, every day? You know, it's like, no, have I done a pretty good job this month? And then if I check off most of it and go, yeah, you know what, 80%, pretty good. You know, that's a passing grade. I take the passing grade now. You know, before, if I didn't get the A+, you know, if I wasn't the number one in a class, then I thought I failed. You know, that kind of a pressure I used to be putting on myself, the perfectionism, and it's just totally falling off of me. So everybody, you know, stay tuned, because I am no longer a perfectionist, you know. So I think I'm just going to pull back and say, yeah, you know what? There is this big ocean waves that we're all surfing, and the women are a lot more sensitive to that. Women are sensitive to light much more than men. So if you look at your husband next to you, that's just snoring the moment he hits the pillow and he's asleep, and then you're just so jealous of him, or you just elbow him so he wakes up with you. You know, it's just the sensitivity is very different for men. Yeah.
It sure is. Yeah, it really is.
It is. And I think it's good that we talk about this, because it does give people ideas of how they can ride this wave out, right? And to, you know that this is something we can expect every month, you know, that the moon's going to, you know, go through its cycles, and brace the cycles of the moon and learn to live with them and learn to live more naturally. I loved how you said that, because we do. We try to put all these little hacks in there to live our lives. And if we just lived more naturally, I think we would enjoy life a lot more.
Right. And because, I'm so glad you're all, both of you are saying this. And I'm glad, because I sometimes feel like, you know, is that just like, you know, a shortcut or something? I mean, they look at me like, don't you have better things to tell me? You know, and I'm like, no, I'm at the point in my life that I want to embrace the cosmic level energies. You know, I'm a part of this. How come humans are the only ones that are like going against it? Almost all species, like I said, I started out this conversation saying we all have the DNA that's connected to the lunar cycles. And why would we be different from other species? We all share that DNA. Right. It's just that we have lost ourselves. We are lost. So when you can become sensitive, I say, welcome home. I'm really glad you're sensitive to this. I'm glad you're sensitive enough to notice it. You know, instead of saying, oh my gosh, you know, how come I'm so sensitive? It's like, oh my God, this is fabulous. that you are finally returning to the big picture of who you are, and that we are not isolated species. The human beings are part of this animal world as well. We are part of this earth as well, and so on and so forth. And it becomes really a humbling experience for me, to be honest. And when you can start to understand the lunar cycles, you can actually begin to notice your hormonal changes as well. So even when you're in postmenopause, you know, you still are producing estrogen, right? You're still producing your own progesterone. But yes, the amount will decrease. That's normal. Testosterone will decrease as well, right? And other things will decrease as well. But you can actually look at it and say, okay, maybe I can support my estrogen, you know, leading up to the full moon, because that's a really nice time to actually support your estrogen. Mm-hmm. And when the estrogen is up, you will have more of oxytocin as well. So then you want to communicate with others. You want to have communities. That makes so much sense, doesn't it? Like more female energies that come up that you just want to go start creating a red tent events, you know, and then start inviting all these women to share, you know. So that's normal. But then, you know, after the full moon, you're going to go into a little bit of a kind of a the waning side. You're not adding more light anymore. You want to go into the introspective time. You want to get into the place where you're starting to go inward. And this is when you want to support your progesterone a little bit. And the progesterone is more of a Zen garden kind of a hormone. So makes you just sit by the Zen garden having sip of a, you know, nice tea or something like that. And literally that is the recommendation I have for all of us, is that after the full moon, start to find ways that you can increase the Zen garden moments. And that could be, you know, creating beautiful foods. It could be taking a moment to sip on your favorite herbal teas, you know, whatever that may be. It could be music, but music may change from when you're wanting to listen to a different kind of a rhythm leading up to the full moon. Yeah, Barbie.
Yeah.
And to, you know, new moon, you may want to listen to something a little bit different, maybe even like literally like a moon sonata, right?
Yeah.
Piano's moon sonata. So something, you know, if you start to kind of look at it that way, you begin to say, wow, I am in this ebb and flow. I am waxing and waning. I am this ocean waves, because you are you are water. So you are this part of the ocean waves. You're the droplet in that ocean. And we get to begin to swim together and surf together.
It's so interesting, because being all this water, and if you look into a fishbowl or look into where there's fish in an aquarium or something, it's hypnotic to watch them swimming, the fish, and it's hypnotic to watch them. And it really does do things with your brain to calm it down, just being in an aquarium, right? I guess that's why when we're young, most of us like fishbowls too, right? When we're young, they really do attach to us, because we found something that gives us a little bit of rhythm, smoother riding rhythm, which is, I guess, like you're saying, like we are, right?
Right.
So exactly. Beautiful.
I feel like if we embodied these things more, like learning about the lunar phases and how it impacts our body, I feel like we would live an easier life, because it feels like we're so often pushing against the grain, trying to move in ways that we really shouldn't, rather it's physical activity, rather it's, you know, when to be meditating and when to be doing this inner reflection and when to be more outwardly. I feel like we would live a more satiated life if we could adopt some of these things and find out some of these different ways to go with the flow, so to speak.
Right. Literally, right? Go with the flow. And we say that to each other. We've heard it. We've been told that. We say it to one another, but we don't really know what is the flow? What is the big picture of the flow? And the big picture of the flow could be actually coming from the lunar cycles, the circa-lunar cycles, instead of just the solar cycles. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us women have been like boxed in to only looking at life from the solar perspectives. And it's really interesting when you start to study women's hormonal cycles versus men's hormone cycles. Okay. Male hormone cycles are 24 hours. And it just literally, the graph is super boring. Okay. It looks like this up and down, up and down, up and down. Literally every 20 minutes, there's this up and down going on all day long like this. And it stays within that range. But if you look at women's hormonal cycles, there's this beautiful arc arc that happens right up into the full moon. Then it comes down a little bit. And then there's another arc that comes up and then comes back down, right? So it's this whoosh, right? And then another whoosh and then coming back down. And that's happening within the 29.5 days or the 28 days, you could call it, from a new moon to the, you know, right before the new moon. That's about, but there's this beautiful slow moving waves. So we don't have this like up and down, up and up and down. We don't live like that. But the society wants us to fit into the up and on, up and on, up and on, and stay within the range. I mean, so you can kind of start to see and feel, wow, this is what we are doing to everyone from the school system, from preschools to kindergarten to elementary schools to so on and so forth. Okay. To university years, to, you know, where you went to work, and everything else is geared towards living like this.
Right, right.
So if you can bring this into even your grandkids' lives or your school systems, let's say, then for me, it's like when you're adding the light, you have more you can absorb a little bit more. Okay. Absorption goes up. Like I said, the brain actually gets a little bit heavier, right? And bigger, right? Inside the weight of it. That means you can add a little more information to it. Okay. You can actually teach kids a little bit better with that, but you have to be careful around the 72 hours around the new, the full moon, because these kids are going to be a little bit wired and tired, right? And they will tend to want to go for sugar. They will want to eat crappy stuff. I mean, because when you don't sleep that well, your blood sugar will get dysregulated. So then you want to get munchies in, right? So you do want to watch out for a little bit, but maybe that's a great time to be like leading up to. So when you're adding the light, teach the materials. But after you're done with the full moon, what if you reviewed the things? You know, what if you just like reflected on things instead of adding more stuff when the moon is
flame to the fire? Yeah, it's interesting. I find that as I mature in life here, I become calmer and I'm willing to accept things for what they are, sort of thing, on the most part. But I find also that with my grandchildren, I do that. I say things like, I don't know why you do that. If you only knew, you know, that that's not going to mean anything to you down the road, you know, and you're getting yourself into these little pickles will not mean anything to you later. Stop them now, you know. And I'm always trying to say that to the grandkids of some sort or another, and they always go, oh my grandma, you're always so calm. And I giggle to myself, I think, because I don't know, I am not, but they keep telling me. But I'm just saying that what you said there, yes, let these young kids know that they don't have to live in this world of pulling their hair out and feeling like they have to keep up with the Joneses or whoever the case may be, right? That they can actually have their one foot in front of the other and be very firm in their footing and know where they're going at a very young age if you just show them the moon cycles and how they can reflect with it. I like it.
Love to have that as a part of the curriculum in the school. You know, if we can teach kids at a young age to pay attention to this bigger ebb and flow, not just the sun rising and sun setting, but yeah, there's a big picture that is also pulling and tugging at all of us. And in school system, if you create a monthly cycle so it's a little bit more in the flow, a natural flow, and say, okay, kids, you know, that the moon is starting to get darker and darker, so we're going to do a little bit more exhaling kind of a learning. So breathing techniques can actually, you know, emphasize more exhales, but also exhaling of what we've learned, process it, digest it, instead of piling more and more onto their plates, you know? So, and we're doing the same thing as adults too.
Yeah. When you were growing up, you came from Japan, and I was just looking at something on the internet. You can tell me it's garbage or it's not, but do they actually make you sleep or have a rest during the day in Japan when you're in school?
You know, they didn't have nap time. I mean, nap time was, you know, ended, you know, the first grade you start and then the nap time didn't end. But the Japanese school system we have a very long hours for eating for lunch. And then we have a long time after that for playing and resting and whatever you choose to do. So the school hours are kind of long. You know, it always started around 8, and we never started early. 8:30 was the cutoff. And I was one of those kids that always needed to sleep more. So I never arrived till 8:29, you know, that kind of thing. And then the class for 50 minutes or so. And then you always have 10 minutes in between. Lunch hours are about 90 minutes. And we serve each other meals. And then afterwards, you will have at least another 90 minutes that you can go play or rest or whatever you needed to do, you know. Wow. So I would find myself like I would climb up these stairs to the top of the building, and then I'll just take a nap and nobody will find me. You have plenty of time to digest your foods and do whatever you needed to. And then but then the school didn't end till, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. You know, sometimes if you're in a older grades, it doesn't end till almost 4:30. And so you have an all day that you're spending at school. So in that sense, you know, you didn't get to go home early or whatever, but it's almost was like a little more slower pace. There's, you know, Japanese school systems can be intense because they do teach a lot of materials, but right. I felt like it gave me a little more time to digest. And also, we didn't have a very long summer vacations, right? So we didn't lose everything that you learned. And our school system is based on the seasons. So we right. don't start till spring. Spring is the first semester.
Okay.
And we end in the winter, right?
Okay.
Our school system ends right before equinox, okay, in March. Okay. So you can kind of imagine it always started in the spring, ended in the winter, right? So when I came to the U.S. and then I started the school system in school in September, I thought that was a little bit strange because where are they coming up with this, you know? So it's kind of the same thing, right? Are we with the lunar cycles in the monthly cycles? Are we living with the seasonality? Remember, the seasons are, you know, controlled by the moon also, right?
Right.
You can kind of start to pull back and back and back and go, oh my gosh, the whole system is not based on anything to do with the bigger cosmic level rhythms. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's amazing. That's so much information and so wonderful, because I think people will really, you know, get into that because it just makes so much sense.
It does.
Is there resources on your website and things like that where people could go to find out more about yeah. that?
Yes. So I'm always putting out the videos on the new moon and the full moon. And occasionally when I feel like the quarter moon is really important for that month, I will be posting a video on my YouTube channel. So please do check that out and subscribe, because I'm always putting things up. And then I'm really gearing towards physiology and the biology and how that gets impacted through the lunar cycles and different moon zodiac signs too. So it's not sun zodiac signs, but I'm looking at the moon-based signs and then how that impacts us as well. And then I'm always creating some courses. And right now I am offering a masterclass on moon wisdom for menopause and beyond. So that could be an interesting masterclass if you're interested in learning more about how the hormones change based on the lunar cycles. What can you do about it? What are some of the foods, maybe supplements, herbs, teas, you know, that will help you throughout the whole big picture of the monthly cycles? And other things are just the science that I'm learning around the biology and the moon, and also how to honor kind of the darkness of the moon too, you know. So it's not always about the full moon, it's not always about the light, but it's about really honoring the quiet stillness, the darkness that really invites us to get to know who we are deeply. And that's very, very important as we go into the second half of our lives as women.
So I
have all kinds of things up there on my website, so check out
MonicaCovey.com. That's great. Yes.
Okay. And I will put those into the show notes. And so you have both a YouTube channel and your website. Is there any other social medias that you're on? Or,
well, that's kind of what I'm focused on. I do have a Facebook, but you know, I'm just really bad at Facebook right now. So, check out the YouTube, you know, that's where you'll find me all the time. Sign up for my newsletters, because I send it out and I do a lot of kind of live calls and things to answer people's questions. And as I'm sharing all the time. So,
right. Which is wonderful. And we really appreciate it, because I mean, then we grow together, right? Message keeps going. So if you had to leave a final thought with everybody, what would it be?
Oh, keep listening to these two beautiful women. That's You know,
thank you.
They're doing good work. They're really, really doing good work.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. We appreciate it.
I mean, that's it. You know, I think what I want to do and join me in this mission is that I want to create a movement, really a movement around this, you know, that we are this part of this big picture of this rhythm. And if we can support one another, and especially I think postmenopausal women have struggled because medically speaking, as well as like science out there, we just stopped studying about postmenopausal women. We are so focused on youth. You know, if you live in the Western cultures, it's very youth-oriented society.
We're
not paying attention to women who are going into menopause and postmenopause with so much wisdom, right? We are going to have about 1.5 billion people in menopause and postmenopause by year 2030. That's not too long from now, right? So we can't be ignored anymore. Okay. I refuse to be ignored. And yes, exactly. And I just think that if we can begin to express ourselves and start talking about the fact that, yes, I am sensitive to the bigger rhythm of things, and that's not because I'm crazy, but that's because I know that I'm a part of this earth and I'm a part of this cosmic flow and I'm part of this universe and I'm proud to be that. And if we can say that more and more, I think more of us that been feeling like this, but we have to hide ourselves away, will come out and we begin to reach for each other. So join my movement that I'm creating. Yeah,
I love it. Yes, I second that. That's amazing. Well, we appreciate you sharing space with us so much. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You have so much knowledge. And I think it just, you know, for us, that goes with what our mission is of putting out there to get people aware of the things in life. So,
and you do it very well. You do it very well.
Oh, thank you. You two are so beautiful. I'm so glad that I was able to meet both of you through the moon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Please come and join us again. You join us again too.
Yes. We would love that. And everybody else, tune in the next time.
You betcha.